Hear that? Up there in that tree?
Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yes, yes, this is me and all my homies love native manu. This week, e te whanau, we are talking about the pūtangitangi or pūtakitaki, the paradise shell duck. Here to talk with me, as always, about our precious native manu is the Birdman. It's Pete Tonda. Welcome to the studio, Pete.
Oh, morena, Liv. Great to be here.
Great to be back with you, bro.
Yes.
This week, we're talking about the pūtangitangi. Can you tell us about the classification of this manu, Pete?
Yeah, they are endemic, so only found here in Aotearoa. They're not threatened, least concern, and they're a shell duck. And a shell duck is something that's like half duck, half goose.
Okay.
So they're called ducks, but they could also be called geese because they're in between.
Okay.
Like they just share features of both.
Okay.
So I don't know whether they're halfway on the evolutionary pathway or they just decided, hey, no, we want a bit of both.
Yeah, yeah.
So
they were
yeah.
like, yeah, why not both? ¿Por qué no los dos?
So they have thrived with the opening up of forested land to pasture lands
because yeah.
that's their habitat, eating grass and stuff.
Yeah.
Plus, you find them in urban parks and sport fields. They have thrived despite being game birds, so you can shoot them during duck shooting season.
Yeah.
They did get quite hammered in the 19th century due to overhunting.
Yeah.
But there's been a bit more control, and since about 1990, they've just kind of blossomed.
Okay.
And they've got a current population around 600,000 to 700,000.
That's incredible.
And that's with about 200,000 being shot every year.
Damn.
And if they cause too much of a nuisance on the farm,
you can cull them.
The farmer can cull them. So
despite that. Do you have to have like a permit to do that or something? Or?
I think you might have to get a permit
yeah.
to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, Māori relationship to the pūtangitangi or pūtakitaki. Yeah, pūtangitangi is an onomatopoeic word. Just laughing because Pete didn't know how to say that
no,
word.
No, I struggle with that word.
Yeah, it reflects the sound of the manu, and the cry is like similar to women wailing at a tangi.
Yeah.
When you hear the cry of the pūtangitangi, you imagine it's a cry of sorrow. But also they were a traditional food source for tangata whenua. During their molting season, during the summer, because they were easy to catch and they couldn't fly.
Yeah.
And then I read they were stored in their own fat when
yeah.
to preserve them.
Yeah, yeah, and they had rahui and stuff to manage the harvest. So
yeah, of course.
They kept them sort of in healthy stocks.
Yes,
which is good.
Sustainable management of our taonga species. We've got some whakatauki here as well. He aha te kai a te rangatira, he kōrero, he kōrero, he kōrero. What does that speak to, Pete?
What is the food of the leader? It is knowledge, it is conversation, it is communication.
Wow.
And it's often linked to the pūtangitangi as being a really important food source, like
yep.
an important special food.
Yep.
Which kind of relates to the leadership type
yeah.
role.
Well, that's,
yeah.
that's a freaking good one right there. And then the pūtangitangi is also often used in the context of te reo or te repo, the voice of the wetlands. Can you tell us a bit more about that, Pete?
Yeah, I think it's just about signalling its presence because it, you know, it calls out, you know it's coming.
Yeah.
And it's sort of an indication of health of the habitat if
exactly.
there's manu around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And acknowledging that there's many different manu that contribute to te reo or te repo. Yeah, many wetland birds. But yes, they're quite obviously a very common bird. We've got a large population.
Yep.
Where are they found, Petey?
The most widespread waterfowl across Aotearoa. So North Island, South Island, Arakiura, nearshore islands with grasslands present, like Aotea, Kapiti, etc.
Yep.
They love pasture lands, river flats, protected bays.
Yep.
Get a few coming into Maraetai Bay at Port Waikato.
Yep.
They also love, you know, sports fields and urban parks because there's nice grass to munch on.
I actually saw one in the park, Anson Park, near my whuddy the other day. I was like, that's a bloody pootsungitungi.
Was it a single one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Looking for a mate.
Yeah. I think, maybe I'm getting confused now, but let's just say it was for dramatic purposes. So, yes, how would you describe it, Pete? They're very iconic looking birds.
Yeah.
And what do they eat as well?
Yeah, sure. I love the pootsungitungi. They're beautiful, honest, straightforward manu. Nothing secretive or sneaky about these birds. They're very loud, chatty, chatty manu. And you often hear them high above you before you see them. They form lifelong pairs.
And they make a pretty interesting call, way.
They do. They do. And what I hear is, you know, like, are you coming with me, darling? Yes, I'm always here for you, darling. You know that. Yes, I know that. I just wanted to hear you say that. Hey, should we go down and check out that bay? Awesome idea, darling. Let's go down there right away. Hey, all of you down there, we're coming. We're coming here. Hello, everybody. Hey, what's been happening? What's the goss? Did you hear about it? It goes on and on. They're just constantly
chattering,
having a corridor.
Yeah, they are. I love that. That was really awesome.
Anyway, they are gorgeous to look at. Like, the males, a dark grey, sort of black. They've got a bit of iridescent green over their heads.
Yes.
They've both got sort of a patch of white on their wings and a bit of brown on the body.
Uh-huh.
The females are flashier, with striking white heads and necks.
Which often
doesn't... With a really distinctive line.
Yes, which often doesn't happen for manuates.
Yes.
Quite often
it's the other way around.
The male looks more visually interesting than the female. So I love to hear about women birds winning.
But it's like when you look at the female pootsungitungi, they've got this sort of browny body with some blue and stuff, and then it's like the creator ran out of brown when it got to the head, and it said, oh, I've only got white left. And so it just plonked this white head on the manu, and it's it's striking, but it's beautiful.
It is beautiful, Such an iconic look and such a drastic change.
Yeah. So they eat basically grass and clover, but they can also eat leaves and seeds and some land and aquatic insects.
Okay.
A little bit of protein.
Yep, got to get that protein up.
And they have that sort of display of broken wings sort of technique going on when they feel threatened on the nest. So they draw predators and intruders away from the chicks.
Like the dotterel.
Yep.
Yeah. And as we were talking about before, we've got molting happening from January to March.
Tell
us more about this, Pete. I think this is really interesting.
I found this really interesting because they're generally just most of the year they hang about in pairs and very loyal pairs.
Yep.
But during the annual molt, they all congregate in large numbers on large ponds or lakes or big riverbeds. And there's large molting areas around like Lake Brunner, Lake Haupuri, along the Grey River in the west coast, Gisborne, near Tokomaro Bay and Tolaga Bay.
Mm.
And so they all get together and there's safety in numbers and they all lose their wing feathers at the same time.
Why do they lose their wing
feathers? Because they've spent a year flying around and the feathers are a bit buggered. They're worn out.
I want some new digs.
So they say, we're going to drop them all and regrow brand new wing feathers, and it takes about 6 or 7 weeks.
Yep.
And then after that, they're all set to go, you know, faster than ever.
Amazing. And it was during this time that Māori would harvest the birds.
Yeah, obvious, because they can't fly.
Easy bloody target.
You get out
there
and the easy pickings.
Yeah, and they're so big and juicy too. I bet they taste awesome. But yes, well, they breed for life in pairs.
Yes.
Very loyal, monogamous pairs. Where are they nesting, Pete?
Various places. In tree holes up to 20 metres off the ground, or in tree bases.
Yep.
Or in rock crevices, or under buildings, or debris piles. They've basically got a very simple selection criteria.
Okay.
They need cover overhead and a single entrance. It's very straightforward.
Oh, keep
anything
it
that
simple
meets that
way.
Criteria, they're in.
Yeah.
That'll do us for home.
Yeah.
So
I
they
love
lay
that.
Eggs, you know, August to September, sometimes October for young birds or repeat nesters. And they lay 5 to 12 eggs, often around 10.
Yep.
And sometimes...
It's a lot of eggs.
It's a lot. Well, they need to.
Okay.
There's a lot of predation. We've talked about this before. Ducklings are prime targets.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But sometimes females do a brood merging. And so you can have 12 plus eggs on the one nest.
Two females
incubating together.
Hey, that's kind of cool.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Lesbians. That's what I'm thinking. But yes, the incubation done by the wahine manu for a month. But both
feed the chicks.
Yeah.
And they fledge at 8 weeks.
Okay. The ducklings are pretty cute. I was looking at some photos of them the other day. Yeah. They're like white with like brown kind of stripy.
No, they're very cute. But, you watch them there during the season and, you know, there's 10 of them following Ma, and then 3 days later there's 8 of them. And
oh, God.
The number just keeps going down a bit until they get big enough to survive the predation.
Yeah. Do you know, like, what kind of age they have to be, like, post kind of predation?
Oh, I'm not sure.
No.
I'm not sure.
Let's
hope it's not too long before they become less of a target.
Yeah. But yes, one of their biggest threats, we're going to talk about threats
biggest
now.
Threat, but it's hunting basically, because 200,000 a shot each year, and with a bit of farmer culling.
Is that, is there like daily limits for how many you can shoot?
I think there are.
Yeah.
I sort of don't get into duck shooting, so I don't.
Me neither.
I don't do too much research on it because, I don't know.
Not.
I don't like shooting birds full stop, let alone ducks. But
yeah, me too.
But you know, each to their own.
Yeah.
So usual predators: stoats, ferrets, weasels, rats, feral cats, and possums. They can get onto the nest or the chicks, but there's also a few native predators. Eels grab some.
Our tuna eating the
frickin'
manu.
That's quite a nice meal. They come up from below, and I don't think the manu really knows what's going on until the kind of history. And then the kahu also sort of target them as well.
Yes.
But they're strong survivors, and they're thriving in Aotearoa. And, you know, I thought their motto is, you can shoot us, you can cull us, but we will survive and thrive, and we will not be silenced. Zonk, zonk, zeet, zeet.
Because that's the sound that they make.
They do.
The male makes it like zonk, zonk.
Yeah, zonk, zonk. And then
zeet, zeet. It's incredible.
So,
yeah, I've actually like had a good chuckle when I was reading, like doing a bit of research for this about the sounds they make. And I was like, it's just the stupidest noise ever.
Yeah, but they do it with absolute zest.
They do.
And confidence.
And it's important to imagine that they've just having a kōrero about where to go and
of course they are.
What their plan is for the day,
absolutely.
Really.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming up, Pete. You've got a song to play for us.
Yeah.
For the Pūtangi Tangi.
Yes, good song. Song by the Swingers, Counting the Beat.
Yes.
And I think this song sort of captures the vibe of the Pūtangi Tangi in full voice, and they're sort of counting the beat of the manu.
Yeah, I love that a lot. I love that a lot. This is Counting the Beat from the Swingers. This has been Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu. Thanks, Pete.
Kia ora.
Isn't that beautiful?
That was Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.